Yes, you're listening to Law and Gospel on what normally is a Rumination Tuesday with Mark Smith, but because of an assignment he has today, we met yesterday to deal with the hymn on Jordan's Bank, The Baptist's Cry. And instead, we're going to be taking a look at the readings today, which we normally do on a Monday, for the second Sunday in Advent, December the 9th. Today is December the 4th in the year of our Lord, 2018, and the readings for this coming Sunday are Psalm 66, Malachi 3, Philippians 1, and Luke chapter 3. The passage we're going to examine right now is from Philippians chapter 1, because it has a lot of revelation in it that may not be understood or obvious to those reading the English translations. So that's what we'll look at, Philippians chapter 1. Then tomorrow we're going to be continuing our Bible study with Galatians chapter 3. That's that Bible study where congregations can meet at 9:30, listen to the program, and then the half hour after it's over can talk about what we had to say. And all you need to do is have one of those phones where you can go to the internet and you just look up KFUO.org and you can listen to the program live over the phone. I know one congregation did that last week and they just had a microphone near the phone so everybody could hear. Well, right now, Philippians chapter 1. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you. What does that mean? What it's referring to is not some gift of grace that you can use in your daily life in order to do good works. It's not a power source. It's actually a gift itself that God has been gracious to you because you now are, and it says it right in that verse, you now are at peace. And that peace is from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is really an appropriate passage for Advent. Remember the angels talking about peace on earth, the goodwill towards men? The peace he's talking about is the peace now that is between yourself and God the Father because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Prior to Jesus coming, people were not at peace because of their sin. But when Jesus came and took away the punishment of their sin, God now no longer recognizes you as a sinner who have faith in Jesus Christ, and you have peace. So what a wonderful way to begin a letter. Grace to you and peace from, not your good works, not your behavior, but from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all gift. And that's why Paul continues, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Now, when I thank God in remembering someone, it's normally because of what they have done. Maybe they sent me a gift, or maybe they did a favor for me, or maybe they're very good as whatever they are in their vocation, as a husband, a father, a spouse, a child, a student, an employee, an employer, etc. But listen why Paul gives thanks as to what he is remembering. He says, first of all, in all my remembrance, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy. So this is a remembrance that leads to joy. And then he gives a reason. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Now, we don't have the title of this program, Law and Gospel, for no reason. The reason it's called law and gospel is because if one doesn't recognize the two differences between law and gospel, if one doesn't realize that both are kind of doctrines but are miles from each other, then you will not understand the scripture. The doctrine of the law primarily is the one that gives the impression that you will be saved by your works, which every religion in the world outside of Christianity teaches. We've said this a million times before. But the gospel is something quite different. The gospel is not a power source for you to do the works so that God is pleased with you, even though many of your fruit of the Holy Spirit or good works are pleasing to God. Now, what's the gospel? The gospel is an announcement, a revelation, good news from God that you no longer have to be concerned about being under the curse of the law. What was the curse of the law? In the day that you sin, death will be the result. No, that death did occur, but it won't be your eternal death. It was the death of Christ on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? And we are now partners in the gospel with the Apostle Paul. Now, idea of a partnership means that we are together in this understanding of the gospel, that because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are free from the curse of the law. And according to Paul, he says, from the first day until now. Now, every now and then this does happen. I, as a pastor, will be visiting with someone who is not a Christian. A lot of times this occurs in a hospital where I'm with the member of the congregation saying a prayer, but someone in the other bed says, would you talk to me about what you just prayed? And they may not be Christian. And then when I tell them about Jesus Christ and whatever illness they have, that all things will work together to their good, they are in joy. They get converted, not by Tom Baker, but by the word of God that the Holy Spirit uses. And it appears that when Paul went to the church at Philippi, or to the people at Philippi, they became a church almost immediately, from the first day until now. Now, does Paul give them credit for that? Now, here's another big distinction that you may miss with a quick reading of the English. He says, verse 6, Philippians 1, and I am sure of this. Now, that means this is an assurance Paul has, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Now, what kind of analogy can we use to help you explain what Paul is saying? I think the best analogy is the one used by God himself, where he talks about that we became a member of the family by adoption. Would you disagree that two individuals who adopt a child, that they begin the good work in that child of making them a member of their own family, and that they will bring it to completion? What? Well, whatever God has in mind for that child, perhaps graduating from college, becoming a doctor, a lawyer, or pastor, or deaconess, or all kinds of things, that it will be due to the parents. I mean, how many times on a football game you're watching and the one side wins and then they're interviewing the star of the game, and who does he give thanks to? Often to his father or to his mother. And in a sense, that's the way he was brought up. You also were brought up by God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He began the good work in you. And how did he do that? By creating faith in your heart as you heard the word of God or as you underwent the sacrament of holy baptism, even as an infant, as I did. And so Paul can be assured that the one who began a good work in you, it wasn't you, wasn't by your works that you became a Christian, but he will bring it also to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And that's referring to, of course, Judgment Day. That at the time that the day of judgment occurs, God will bring it to completion. When you go to heaven, you will not be going to heaven in a boastful way, saying, look at God, look what I did. I went to a church every week. I even became maybe a Sunday school teacher or an officer in the church. And I brought my children up. Look at all the good things I've done. No. You will instead boast about Jesus, who began this partnership in you and has brought it to completion on the day of judgment. Remember, this is Advent, so one of the comings that we talk about is the coming of Jesus Christ into your heart and on the day of judgment. Now, Paul continues after he's given this assurance, it is right for me to feel this way about you all. Now, we got to be really careful when we read this that Paul isn't talking about his feelings. He isn't assured because of his feelings. No, instead he's assured because they have become partners in the gospel. They believe the gospel, and that leads to a feeling that it is right for him to feel this way about you all. So feelings never come before proper assurance. Feelings are always a result of being absolutely assured. Like an adopted child, they will definitely feel loyalty to the parents when they realize they have been adopted. But the feeling doesn't come before that realization. So just kind of a careful thing here. Keep feeling or emotions separate from assurance on the basis of the Word of God. He says, it's right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Wow. There's that word, gospel. You see, this is why the gospel is so much more important than the law. Now, the law has a place, because the gospel is really good news that we do not need to be afraid because of the consequences of our sin. However, the law does have the purpose of making us afraid, so that we are then joyous to hear from outside of us the gospel good news that there is one who came to solve our problem of our disobedience under the law. Need to make that real carefully clear, that our disobedience under the law can make us afraid of God, as it does in many passages in the Bible. And that's good. Proper preaching of the law should result in a fear of God, because you know that he would have every right not to save you, to condemn you eternally. But through faith in Jesus Christ, God now regards you in a different way. Because of your partaking of the gospel, which means you believe the promises of the gospel, God declares you not only to be forgiven, but he also declares you to be righteous. Now, what is the evidence for this? Verse 8. For God is my witness. See, this is really important. If you're on a jury and you're trying to decide the guilt or innocence of an individual, you will definitely look to the witnesses. Paul is saying that God is my witness. Well, where did God do any witnessing? In the scriptures. It reminds us of that road to Emmaus experience of Jesus talking to two disciples who could not figure out why he had to be crucified. Well, Jesus became their witness by pointing out to them the Old Testament passages. And this is very important because Jesus thought the whole Old Testament was accurate and correct. And therefore, when God quotes the Old Testament, that is his witness. And you can only imagine the verses that Jesus was telling to those Emmaus disciples, pierced in hands and feet, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. There are many of them in the Old Testament that Jesus fulfilled by becoming the slain lamb, as John the Baptizer referred to him as. So, when you have such a powerful witness as God himself, then Paul continues, and it's in light of that that I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. What does that mean? What's the affection of Christ Jesus? That's kind of the love from Christ Jesus, first of all to Paul, and then to all, as God has witnessed that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And therefore, Jesus' death on the cross was not just for the elect or for believers. It was for the entire world, that every sin had been paid for. And the only people who don't receive the benefit of heaven are those who don't believe. And therefore, through unbelief, they reject the message of the gospel. But it appears the Philippians, from the first day until now, did not reject the message of the gospel when they heard it. You need to remember that some of the Jews did not go from unbelief to faith. They went from faith in the coming of a Messiah, proper faith, to faith that Jesus was the fulfillment of that Messiah. I think one of the best examples I can give you is John chapter 9. The man born blind, he was not an unbeliever. He believed in the coming of the Messiah. And so after he was healed and he's talking to Jesus, he wants to know, who is that person that I may worship him? And Jesus says, I am he. See, this is really important to understand that sometimes many of the Jews were believers already, like Mary and Joseph, and of course, Simeon in the temple and Anna in the temple. And they really did not come to new faith as they came to a improved faith that Jesus was a fulfillment of being the Messiah. Now, when Paul prays for these people, what is his prayer? Verse 9, Philippians 1. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. Now, what's he talking about? Is it that their love increases more and more guarantees their salvation? No, that would be a work they're doing. So they're not being saved by obedience to the law. This we refer to as sanctification in contrast to justification. Justification is by God's grace you receive faith, believe the promises of the gospel, and are saved. Sanctification is how you respond to that good news. So when somebody really does a wonderful favor for you or give you a wonderful gift, you feel compelled or you desire to return the favor. That's how Christianity works. You don't do favors for God in order to get his gift. You do favors to God because you've already received the gift. And that gift is the forgiveness of sins And the favor you do is that your love abounds more and more. You increase in knowledge and discernment, which what that means is you begin to understand what God's will is for you to do in the present moment. So verse 10 explains that. So that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Whoa, whoa, whoa. How does one who approves what is excellent become pure and blameless? Because what you're approving of, and another word for approve here would be believe. You believe what is excellent, what is really, really important. And what is really important? What is excellent? That Christ died for you. And for some reason, and I've never figured this out, God indicates that you who believe the promises are declared righteous and blameless in his sight. So that's what this is talking about. So that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Why is that? Verse 11 fills it out. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through what? Now, how you would imagine the next words is really important. If you think you're filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through your good works, then you have confused law and gospel. You're filled with the fruit of righteousness, which is forgiveness, the robe of righteousness, and many other blessings that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. This is why when I was in a congregation for 28 years, I would always meet with the Sunday school teachers prior to the lessons. And why would I do that? Because a lot of times a person can teach a biblical lesson without teaching law and gospel. Like, for example, you can teach something like the crossing of the Red Sea, get all the history of it correct, that the sea opened up, they walked across, etc. And what's the point? Is that whatever Red Sea you are facing, God will open it up and lead you safely through that. No, that's not the point at all. The point is something quite different. Because God saved people through water. Simple water. Separated. So the Israelites should cross over. And when the Egyptians tried, the waters came crashing down upon them. This is obviously helping us to understand the importance of baptism. That God takes simple water, applies it to us in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? We not only receive the gift of the forgiveness of sins, but also the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's found in Peter's Pentecost sermon in Acts chapter 2, when the people ask him, what shall we do? So, if you're talking to someone who doesn't know about Jesus or is an unbeliever, Philippians chapter 1 is so very, very helpful because it makes all the points properly that those who are saved are those who are partners in the belief of the gospel. And that comes about because God began that good work in you by instilling in you faith, and that therefore you also have desired to have your love abound more and more, your knowledge increase, your discernment come to the forefront, so that you may be able to approve this is excellent. And through that faith in the gospel, God regards you as pure and blameless for the day of Jesus the Christ. So that's just a little information for preaching on this second Sunday in Advent, Philippians chapter 1. As indicated, tomorrow we're continuing our study of Galatians chapter 3, which I consider the best chapter in the Bible to give you a clear understanding of Reformation theology. I'm Tom Baker. Join with us or your congregation tomorrow morning at 9:30 for the next Law and Gospel. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.